You're listening to Big Cast, your source for financial technology innovation with John Best.
Welcome back to another episode of the Big Cast. My name is Glenn Sarvati on behalf of the Best Innovation Group, where we like to do cool things with financial technology for credit unions, community banks, regional banks, all kinds of banks, payment providers, financial services companies. And we like talking about it here every week with new content every Tuesday on the Big Cast. You can find out more about us at big-fintech.com or on Twitter at BigFintech. You can find me at my firm, 154 Advisors, on Twitter at 154 Advisors. We have got one of my favorite episodes to do every cycle. I'm going to say every year, but it's even more often than that. And based on our listenership, it seems to be one of your favorites as well. My highlights of the just completed Finovate conference that was, of course, virtual this time around with interviews with four of the, what I felt were the leading lights of what I saw over the course of the last week. I'm not going to lie, I missed being in New York City for this. I missed the buzz of a crowd of 1,000 or so people and all being in the same room. I missed the suspense and the undivided attention where I could just focus nonstop on listening to these live demos and seeing that everything went according to plan. And I missed the off-the-cuff conversations, both with the presenters and other people just kind of trading thoughts with other folks like-minded fintech groupies who want to find out more about this stuff. So, I mean, I don't think anybody would argue, and I don't think Finovate would either, that in a perfect world they'd rather be doing this in person. But that does not change the fact that there are still some really great ideas out there. And I thought there was a real good, solid stable of, you know, fewer demos than usual, but still some extremely strong ones. And I've taken the same approach as I always have to this. I go in without scheduling anything in advance. I wait until I see, you know, the things that really appeal to me. And I just track down the folks who I think are the most interesting and ask them if they're willing to talk. And fortunately, in this case, they all are. All four of the people we spoke to got my best of show votes, and one of them actually did get a best of show nod from the conference. So we'll be getting to that in just 1 minute. Let me also just mention, on a somewhat related note, if you're into this type of thing, checking out new companies, and in this case, even newer companies, FinTech South, a conference that I'm involved with, normally takes place on the field of Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in my hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be virtual this time around, October 5th through 9th. Lots of great content over the course of the full week, about 5-6 hours worth every day. But specifically what I'm thinking of, if you're interested in these types of things around new demos of new companies, the Innovation Challenge. You'll see 10 new companies there presenting on October 5th, and then the three finalists going to an audience vote for a grand prize on Thursday. If you're interested, please check out the conference website, fintechsouth.com. And if you go out there, it's already a very reasonably priced ticket, but if you use the code FTS20SAVE10, you can get an additional 10% discount off of that. That's FTS for FinTech South, 20 for the year, everyone's favorite year, 2020. It's dwarfed just a bit by Mr. O'Neill. Next up, this was the one that I was, and again, as I said before, all four of the folks we're talking to got best of show votes from me. This was the one that I frankly was most surprised did not get a nod for best of show overall from the overall audience vote. They really stood out to me. They're not really a fintech company per se. They are a tech company that happens to use their technology in some financial settings. And maybe that's the reason that they might not have stood out quite as much. But based on people I talked to offline and some of the Twitter traffic that I saw, definitely made a big impression. A company called KeyAware and a specific product here called KeyoTouch, Jim Kruper, their founder, agreed to talk to us. And I think you'll hear why I found this one so interesting very quickly. I'm here with Jim Kruper, the co-founder and president of KeyAware, who we're not only new to Finovate, but they provided what I would consider the true mind-blown moment, for me at least, at this year's fall event. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time. Interesting solution. Your business has been for some time in dealing with enabling kiosks for self-service across a whole gamut of different verticals. Maybe start by saying that you're not new to the financial services industry by any stretch. I think you mentioned you've got, 400 institutions in market here in the U.S., but that's by far not your only ballgame, right?
Oh, that's absolutely true. We shipped KioWare first in late 2003, and we're kiosk system software. KioWare is the foundation upon which a kiosk application is built. And, you know, basically that opens up to us to every vertical market there is. And very early on, financial services saw the importance of it, because banks spend a lot of money on their websites. And so very early on, they were trying to get people within their brick and mortar, their customers within their brick and mortar, access to their website. And they would just have a computer sitting on a counter. And you know, that's not at all secure way for customers to be hitting the website. So KioWare locked it down, just made it very simple for banks to be able to do that. That's how we started the financial services industry.
So, I mean, talk about right place, right time with a really interesting solution. Let me go with a layman's version and tell me if I'm portraying this correctly. What I saw is, you know, this is the whole concern about cleanliness, where, you know, yeah, great, it's a kiosk, but how many people have touched that screen over time? So rather than somebody in this day of COVID having to put their finger on a screen that's been sitting out in public, it could be, and the example, the demo you gave was actually a fast food restaurant ordering system, but could certainly be an ATM or whatever, is you get within vicinity, you scan your phone into a QR code on the screen, and your phone effectively becomes the mouse. The mouse, your phone, by swiping your finger, winds up taking over the screen. Is that a fair statement?
That's exactly what happens.
And I had never seen that before. It was pretty darn fascinating. My first thought was, wow, you got that to market pretty quickly, or you were really good at anticipating a need with COVID. Then I thought, okay, well, if there's ever been a need for this before, it was probably in the Asian market, because they seem to be ahead of the game with us on masks and all that. But you just told me a story before that, interestingly, no, it actually started in the UK.
Yes, actually. And it was last summer. McDonald's in the UK had an article written about their ordering kiosks being filthy beyond filthy. And the reality is that made the kiosk industry crazy, because they're thinking, wow, we need a solution to this. And so, and there, you know, there are solutions out there, but being a software vendor, we're thinking, well, what's a good software solution? And so in early fall of last year, we started going down the road of having a QR code, a unique QR code that gets generated for each user session that kiosk user scans, that then talks through our web service to the kiosk and does nothing but sends mouse commands and keystrokes. And, you know, and that's how it all started. The problem was, it wasn't that big of a priority to us. And had we known COVID was coming, it would have been a much bigger priority. But yeah, so we started development through the fall, and we actually filed a provisional patent in January, but we didn't actually ship until the spring. And when COVID happened, it was holy cow, all hands on deck. And then, you know, we shipped in the May, June timeframe.
Are you in production? I know you're not yet in the States in the financial institution sector, but do you have it actually in production overseas?
Yes, actually. So we shipped, you know, in early summer timeframe. And our goal, just because of the situation, is we didn't want people to have to be paying for it right off the bat. And that's really a philosophy of ours. We don't want you spending money until you're certain that KioWare is a solution. But in particular with KioTouch, we didn't want to be holding people back from using it just because of money. So we were giving out trial licenses just left and right. And this is all around the world. And in terms of our customers, so because of that, the transition into actually paying customers, you know, there's not a whole lot of emphasis on that yet, but we do have customers.
But they're using it. Proof of concept is there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have sessions coming through just constantly. And so far, in terms of outside the U.S., France is our first paying customer. And it was what kind of company was it? I think it was just an integrator. So so we don't actually know what they're using it for. But it was in France.
Well, it's interesting too, and you've touched on this already, but you know, one of the things I always think about, obviously the standard of security is so much higher for an FI than it is for a fast food merchant or something like that. Well, two things. One, you know the financial institution market because you're already in market working on their kiosks. But as I understand it, please confirm this, you're not really transferring any data. All you're doing is actually enabling a mouse pad, basically.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And it really kills two different birds with one stone. One is security, but the second is bandwidth. Because the last thing you want to do, especially in retail and banking environments, networks aren't necessarily all that great. And so you don't want the user to have to be downloading an app or running any kind of complex user interface, a lot of traffic being generated. On top of that, then, you want it to be secure. And well, how do you keep it secure? Well, the best way to keep it secure is not to have any kind of confidential information.
Never expose it in the first place, right?
Yes. So, we don't store cookies. We don't collect any information off of that device. They're an anonymous user from our perspective. And the only thing we're sending is mouse movements. And if they're in a text pad and have their keypad up, we're sending keystrokes. That's it.
And then you had one kind of real zinger at the end that caught me too, which is another aha moment, is, you know, obviously the goal is to keep the line moving quickly. Yeah, I mean, whether it's banking, whether it's fast food, whether it's whatever kind of retail, you know, if people are lined up, you don't want to spend more time than necessary sitting in front of the kiosk. So as soon as you finish the transaction, people get out of line. But then at that point, you're able to serve up more marketing messaging, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the deployer has complete control over what the end message is to that user. As they're walking away from the kiosk, they can put up just a simple thank you message. They can put up a newsletter sign up, coupon download, and even an application download page. They completely control what that user sees. And basically, they have their eyes as they're walking away from the kiosk. But the key is, it's after the kiosk session is over.
Yeah, that's great stuff. As you know, obviously, I'm fascinated by this, and you know, I've yet to see it in the wild. I hope I get a chance to at some point in the near future. But if people want to find out more, website the best way to do it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. www.keyaware.com.
Wonderful. Jim Krupper from KeyAware, and Kia Touch is the name of the actual product, if I'm right, correct?
Yes. Thank you, Glenn.
Wonderful. Thanks for the time.
You betcha. Bye now.
So really enjoyed that one. And again, I thought it was fascinating. My intuition, as I said,